Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be lying with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Nick Caserio, who doesn't make trades. I like the Caserio who makes trades, who gets me to dance. I don't like the Caserio who acts tough. What are we doing? What happened to the Caserio that was trading for Joe Mixon, was trading for Stephon Diggs? All we got was a Khalil Davis trade sitting on his hands. Nick Caserio in that building acting tough. Where the melody's at, Nick Caserio? Yesterday would have been a big day for Texans fandom if he would have pulled off a move. A move that says, we're in it. Because if you think of what's happened in the NFL, all the contenders in the AFC have made a move. Even ones who you wouldn't consider contenders before the year, like the Steelers. They made a move. The Bills made their move. The Ravens made their move, and the Chiefs made their moves. Now, the last three made moves for wide receivers. The Texans may have a problem there. We'll see today if Nico Collins is back active and practicing. But come on, man. I didn't expect a giant move, but I saw an active trade market, and I saw Nick Caserio go, you know what we're going to do? We got enough depth at defensive tackle. Let's make a move. Let's trade a guy, though. Let's go get a third-day pick for Khalil Davis. So Nick Caserio acting tough. Give me off-season Nick Caserio. In-season Nick Caserio is no fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, why are we sellers? Come on.
Yeah, I know you feel good about your defensive line on the interior.
Yeah, I can't think of a single Khalil Davis play. But come on, why are we selling?
Yeah, I'm not that upset that Khalil Davis is no longer on the roster. But I am a little bothered by that was the move you made other than signing offensive linemen off the street. Gone are the days of acquiring Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs. Gone. Yeah. Those days are gone. We're back to, we like to build depth throughout the season, and we like our roster. No. That's not what I was looking for. I don't like your roster. Not on Sunday I don't like your roster.
Is it because there weren't enough Texans fans photoshopping players into Texans jerseys for the trade deadline? Because the problem is they're all offensive linemen, so –
yeah.
It's a tough Photoshop to...
And plus, I don't know how much energy you have to Photoshop a guy who either doesn't play for another team or is on some bad team looking to trade like...
Brandon Scherf.
Yeah. Are you looking to put Brandon Scherf in a Texans uniform? Who's making that edit? What sick depraved individual is doing that? Putting Scherf in a Texans uniform.
Not these guys love football. I don't know.
They love engagement. I would agree with that. Do they love football? That's probably up for debate. But do they love interactions? Sure. I needed Nick Caserio on the phone.
Nate Davis would have gotten the retweets.
maybe Nick Caserio was on the phone and nothing came from it. But it's real quiet. And now we go through the rest of the year where unless someone surprisingly gets released, this is your team. We like our team, apparently.
We like our team, dot, dot, dot. Yeah. We have to.
Yeah, because we have no other choice.
No one's coming.
No. Hopefully health is a big factor in the Texans' post-trade deadline team, where, as I mentioned, Nico Collins could be back starting today. Jeff Okuda is back. So maybe we have more depth at corner, and you're moving Kamari Lassiter to the inside. Who knows? Because the Jalen Petrie covering slot receivers or inside receivers, not great. Kamari Lassiter, when he was drafted, was initially supposed to be, well, the thought was he'd be an inside corner. In fact, we were here that Friday. No, was it Friday? Yeah, that Friday for our unofficial draft show. And when he was drafted, we thought, oh, did they just draft themselves a nickel corner, an inside corner, a slot corner, because he is not looked at as a outside corner. Lance had that evaluation of him, and he talked about it this morning, that if he was trying to fix the Texans, he would have made a trade for an outside corner and move Kamari Lassiter inside, because the Jalen Petrie thing is not it. Is Okuda the answer? I don't know. I do know. No, he's not the answer. He's not. Because if DeMeco likes Okuda as much as he liked Petrie in the slot, we got a problem. Because remember, Okuda, along with C.J. Henderson, were the two guys, former top 10 picks, that didn't work out in two places, that DeMeco brought in and said he liked their size, liked their ability, and that's why he brought them in. They fit what he wanted to do. And, of course, Henderson didn't make it to opening day or game one, and Okuda's been hurt. But he felt strongly about Okuda. He felt strongly about Petrie. He felt strongly about Kenyon Green. And to some extent, and it's the reason why, jokingly, it's still on our rundown that Damian Pierce would be the best back for the Texans if Brian Baldinger and DeMeco Ryans were right about him, put all the caveats in. He felt very strongly about Damian Pierce when people were discussing him getting traded or cut because Cam Akers obviously was going to take that second running back job. Obviously, Damian Pierce has survived despite being injured. But a lot of the guys that DeMeco's felt strongly about, what you might consider fringe players or guys who need to prove themselves, that hasn't worked out so far. It's easy to feel strongly about C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. You ain't brave. So I would say DeMeco was a little out on the limb praising these guys who are either washouts or just, frankly, have performed below average as Texans. And yet, he went out there, he told us that they were going to be good, and I would say for the most part, he's been incorrect. Okuda will get a shot. He's healthy. We'll see if he's on that active roster on Sunday against the Lions, and maybe he'll give the Texans a needed boost, and you can stop having Petrie guard, you know, some of the best receivers in football in the slot. That goes poorly. And if maybe that's Kamari Lassiter's job going forward, but DeMeco likes him out on the outside too, so.
Yeah, I'd say that Garrett Wilson won the matchup.
Devontae Adams won the Petrie thing, yeah. Too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give that both to the Jets receivers.
I would say TKO by the Jets receivers in those matchups against Jalen Petrie. Now, look, Garrett Wilson.
Mike Williams locked his ass up, sent his ass out.
So bad. He got traded.
Get rid of this guy.
Yeah, he can't beat Jalen Petrie. He's got to go. But Mike Williams gone. But I'll give Garrett Wilson a lot of credit for the play. The first touchdown, obviously the second one's one everyone's talking about. But when Petrie was on him, Petrie gambled, but that was a great catch. One-handed. Not any other receiver, but a lot of receivers aren't catching that pass, and Jalen Petrie's gamble maybe doesn't burn him. The Devontae Adams thing, that's poor. That's poor roster management by your defensive coordinator. There's no reason he should be in that position on Devontae Adams.
I was going to say, that's just putting him in a bad spot.
You're asking him to get his ass kicked in that matchup. You're asking him to get knocked out, and that's what happened. But he'll likely be in that spot again. Oh, the Jalen Petrie, Amon-Ra St. Brown thing is going to be.
Oh, is Jameson Williams back?
As the kids say, a movie. I don't know if
St. Brown.
Yeah. It's a horror movie.
No, but normally, like, it's going to be a movie.
There'll be clips.
When either it's going to be a great matchup or, you know.
It'll be a horror movie for the Texans. Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to hit a lot of clips on Jalen Petrie if that's the matchup.
I mean, Garrett Wilson just had his season highlight reel filled up with the two touchdown catches.
Like some Lions creator on TikTok is like, give me that Petri Amon Ross St. Brown thing. You know what I'm going to put together after the game as my Lions try to win another one? So that's where we stand with the Texans right now. No moves made as far as bringing in players of any significance. And the team will go forward the way it's presently constituted. We heard from Dana Brown yesterday. We'll get to him, the Astros general manager. He spoke about where they are and how they're trying to bring back Alex Bregman. He offered what sounded like optimism. We'll see if we agree. He also spoke about having some discussions with Kyle Tucker's representative. That feels like what he said all throughout the year when talking about how they're trying to get something done with Alex Bregman. A lot of first interactions with the people for Kyle Tucker. Yeah, we're talking. We're trying to figure some stuff out. Nothing really imminent there. But he does believe that Bregman is going to be back. Bregman apparently is very willing to come back. Just the money has to work. And the one who's going to negotiate that deal is Scott Boras. So it's going to be a bit of a climb for the Astros to get it done. But at least your general manager thinks he can. So we'll hear from Dana Brown when we come back. A lot to get to. We had the first CFP rankings. And they're trying to divide this show, Sean. If things go the way they think they will go, at least right now, we could very well see Eric's dream matchup, at least right now. So we'll talk about that, what the CFP rankings mean. I'll give you a little clue. They mean little right now. There's so many more games to play. But it gives you a little bit of a hint about how they're measuring these teams. Hey, what does the AP think? We'll do what they think. That's what it feels like to me. So we'll talk about that as well on the show today. It's a busy day, busy night. A lot to get to. The Rockets back in action as well. So show's just getting started. We will be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
If you want to really get in on anything, you can. 713-780-3776. We're open to all. We welcome you. But we do start this segment with this. Dana Brown, he was available to the media. He answered questions about, well, the biggest questions concerning the Astros offseason. And we start with the possibility of Alex Bregman coming back. It seems, or it felt like a foregone conclusion, that he would not be back as an Astro. They did the whole send-off. They had, not that they would call it that, but it looked like a passing of the torch, except that, you know, the torch, the guy who received the torch proceeded to commit like four errors in a game. It's not exactly what you want, but they had the, hey, Alex Bregman could be his final game as an Astro in a regular season game at home, Minute Maid Park. So they had him walk off the field in the middle of an inning, and it was very emotional, and it felt like that was it. But Dana Brown yesterday says, hold on, we think we have a good shot of bringing him back.
Our mindset right now is that he's not going elsewhere and that we want to sign him. So if he ends up going elsewhere, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I'm going into this offseason with the thought process that we're going to get Bregman done. And hopefully, you know, we can do it. And as I said, you know, the conversations with Scott have been productive.
I understand the willingness for the general manager to want to have it happen. I told you in the previous segment, we talked about in the morning show, on the morning show, that Alex Bregman is willing and is very open to coming back. This all comes down to Jim Crane. The numbers have probably been very clear from Bregman's camp, what they want and what they are willing not to really test the market on if you give this to them. But is Jim Crane going to meet the years? I don't think salary will be the problem. Very well could be. Who knows what Alex Bregman is asking for? But years. Is Crane going to do what he refuses to do? There's a reason. Well, multiple reasons, but there are reasons why George Springer didn't come back. Reasons why Carlos Correa didn't come back. And I'm not saying they made the wrong decision. In fact, if you look at Jim Crane's decision-making, you go, hey, a lot of those things have worked out for you. Of course, you've had enough with those guys departing after those guys departed to continue to win, so it hasn't killed you. But it felt like some of the talent drain hit you hard this year, losing those premier players and finally not being able to replace them played a part in you exiting early on these in the playoffs. Hell, having to play in the wild card round, period. So I'm going to say now, I don't think Jim Crane meets the years. I hope I'm wrong, but the 30-year-old third baseman is going to ask for that last big deal. And that means big years. Is he going to settle for five? Maybe Jim Crane goes to six, or is the magic number seven? If it's the magic number seven, I don't think Alex Bregman's coming back. But the Astros, despite, you know, giving Abreu money when he was old, for the most part, they're not looking to pay a 36, 37-year-old top of the market. Well, at least it's now top of the market. Who knows what it'll be like in 7 years. They're not looking to give that salary to a 36, 37-year-old, and rightfully so. Who expects Alex Bregman to be worth whatever he's going to command at 36, 37? But that's the business, because when he – now, they got to him early and gave him money early, but that's baseball. Those guys play for cheap, arbitration and all, and then eventually they cash in. So you've had him on these low-paying deals, relatively speaking, for multiple years. That's how the club has an advantage. Now it's time for Alex Bregman to cash in. I'm not going to be one go, hey, Alex, take a discount. That's not me. I'm not that person. Go get your bag.
I don't know. If he loves Houston.
There it is. Sean's doing it in a way.
The only team he ever played for.
Sean's doing it. Yeah, he had no choice. Sean's doing it in a way that you can be clear how sarcastic he's being. But there are some people who think that way.
Some things are bigger than money, though.
I already got my two World Series. Give me my money. What are you talking about? I already won. You can't even use winning as winning means more. I already won. Give me my money.
Okay.
My legacy is stamped. Now give me my money so I can ruin your cap 6 to 7 years from now, and you're going to be pissed off at me.
So
that's the vicious cycle, because if they did sign Alex Bregman to some seven-year deal, people, Alex Bregman's still here. I mean,
yeah, what will happen is the first time he's bad in April and May. So this April and May.
Yeah, of course.
People will screenshot his numbers where he's hitting like 200 and hasn't hit a home run yet. And people will screenshot that and then screenshot his salary for the next like 7 years. And be like, you're paying this guy whatever, $30 million in 2029?
See, you are underestimating it. Whenever the deal goes down, they will go screenshot SpotTrack as soon as it goes down. So they have it in the tuck.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They'll have it ready to go.
Just whenever.
Yeah, they'll have it ready to go. So when April and May hits and he's struggling, wow, this is Alex Bregman you're paying for?
Imagine how bad it's going to be in six more years.
Thank you. That is how you top it off. Imagine how bad it'll be 6 or 7 years from now when he's 36, 37 years old. That's how this always plays out.
But then also if he walks, it's, oh, my God, I can't believe.
Exactly. That's the game. The game is the game. Those are always the points. We always hit those points, but it doesn't matter. Right now, bring Alex Bregman back, and we'll deal with the problems 6 years from now if we have to.
All Alex Bregman has to decide is if he wants to be Jose Altuve or George Springer. That's all I'm saying.
How'd that work out for George Springer, Alex? Do you want to be known as Arizona Diamondback Alex Bregman or Houston Legend Alex Bregman?
Whatever
your choice.
You want to be whatever happened to Alex Bregman guy? You want to be that when you're fourth in the NL West?
You want to be forgotten because you are no longer playing. By the way, Diamondbacks have been pretty good, but you're no longer playing relevant baseball. We can't use the Diamondbacks for this example. We got to pick someone else.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, the Blue Jays. Let's use the Blue Jays.
It's the same team.
Yeah, just throw them up with the Blue Jays. Do you want to be? You want to be with your good buddy and not win any baseball games? Or do you want to stay here, take a little less, maybe a year or two less than you might get someplace else, and still be part of a championship organization? Your decision, Alex, or do you want to be selfish?
Yeah. You know who you haven't heard a lot of lately? Carlos Correa. Because he's fourth in the – no, were they fourth? I don't know.
No, not a lot of mics.
They were fourth.
Not a lot of mics
in the AL Central.
Not a lot of mics in Carlos Correa's face anymore, right? Right? No trash-talking Cody Bellinger anymore. No one wants to hear from Minnesota twin Carlos Correa.
No. Ken Rosenthal doesn't even talk to him anymore.
Yeah, that seems likely. So, jokes aside.
Who's joking?
Fine. Dell's jokes aside. My jokes
you.
Aside.
Thank you.
Be clear. Sean's very serious, as you can tell. My jokes aside, I'd love to have him back, but you're asking Jim Crane to do something he never does. Bring back a star player on my own roster? I saved that for one guy.
Yeah, I did that once.
That's an Altuve thing. Just wait. When it's Jordan's turn, he's going to be gone too. Although they got Jordan for a couple more years. They don't have to worry about that for a little bit. Oh, speaking of that, we'll get to Eric. I'm sure he wants to talk about Astros. But Kyle Tucker was mentioned as well. That's the next guy in line. Bregman this offseason. Kyle Tucker probably not going to get a deal done before next offseason. So he'll be in line. We'll be doing this next year. Same story.
That's the beauty of it, Dell. We did the Correa stuff for I felt like 2 years.
Did the George Springer stuff. We're right back. Altuve signing avoided the Altuve uncomfortable conversations. Yeah. But now
that's
it's
what we
time.
Do. Bregman. Gurriel.
Yeah, Bregman, Kyle Tucker. Who's next? Unfortunately, They're leaking talent. There's only Jordan left as far as guys who we have to worry about getting a big deal at some point, and they've already done what they had to do with him for a little bit now. So, yeah.
Zach DiZenzo. Just blink, and all of a sudden we're going to be having this conversation about Shea Whitcomb.
I was thinking about that Magic Johnson. I'm not going to be here for that conversation. I don't think I'm going to be here for that conversation. If it ever needs to be a conversation.
My only regret is that we never had to have this or never got the opportunity to have this conversation about Joey Loperfido.
Yeah.
The contract talks for in 5 years for that guy.
Well, they fast-forwarded it. They fast-forwarded contract talks. So they traded him. Now the Kikuchi stuff has to be talked about.
Oh, true. Thank you. Thank you, Astro.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You never leave us hanging, except when you're playing the Tigers in the wild card round. That felt like you were leaving us hanging. Eric, we'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We will hear from Dana Brown on talks with Kyle Tucker's people in a little bit, but let's get to Eric first. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Del, great show. Besides Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker and Kikuchi, are there any other free agency Astros are looking to bring from other teams? And what do you think about the Penguin episode? And also heard thick Latinas will not get deported. Is this true? I'll hang up and listen.
I always try to start. Let's start first to back. So I remember. I always forget what he says if
first,
I start.
Yeah.
If I start with the last thing he said, let's start with the first thing he said. I mean, he's not on another team, but there's some thought about bringing Verlander back. So that particular door isn't closed. Although, I mean, I wouldn't mind if they left that to last. I wouldn't make Verlander a priority right now. If the Bregman thing, at least according to Dana Brown, is a real viable thing where he can come back and he's willing and they will meet what he's asking for or come to some type of agreement where they meet in the middle. Yeah, Kikuchi, I mentioned that. Yeah, they trade Loperfido, but Kikuchi is available. Will they bring him back? He was really good. It would lessen the sting of guys being gone, like Urquidy's out of here. McCullers, will he pitch or will he won't pitch? Of course, Luis Garcia can fall in that category. Christian Javier's there as well. And then Verlander, who, when he pitched, was not effective. That rotation starts to look a little thin if Verlander isn't here, Kikuchi isn't here, and you can't trust that the other guys are going to be healthy. Now, now it's Hunter Brown and Fromber, or Arrighetti. It's not exactly what I'm looking for if Arrighetti is your clear third.
Yeah, and the last two off seasons we sat here and said starting pitching is a need because look at all the guys they have coming back. Look at there's going to be too many guys. There's going to be eight starters. It just never happens.
You're never going to have eight of those guys sitting there waiting, like three guys can't get in the rotation.
That's just never a problem.
Because they're all healthy.
So, yes, I think for every team in the league, they need to add starters. Like, just as many starting pitchers as you can, just add them. They don't even have to be, like, aces. Just add good Yusei Kikuchi-level starters. Who Yusei Kikuchi for the Astros was really good. But for his career, he's more of a pretty good pitcher. That's why, I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be Verlander and Kikuchi, but you do have to replace those innings. Like
you have to find
that's just going
to
be something you have to do. Maybe you got Blue Ball from the Space Cowboys can be this year's Arrighetti where he comes up, but that's still depending on a rookie to be, like you said, you can only really pencil in three guys, and now you're penciling in Blue Ball as your fourth, and that's not to say that one of these guys that you're penciling in, they might get Christian Javier. Their arm might just blow out at any given moment. That's baseball.
Yeah, if we're talking about whose turn it is, it's one of
those
guys. Yeah,
everyone else is hurt.
Yeah, so he asked about some guys who aren't currently Astros who they could bring in. Christian Walker is a name because the Astros do have what you would consider a hole at first base, unless Zach DeCenzo is going to prove that he can take that spot. Paul Goldschmidt, I think we talked about that on this show, and then Anthony Rizzo as well. So those are some of the names mentioned as potential first basemen for the Astros. Those will likely be shorter-term deals. Not that the shorter-term deal, they're still paying off. And Jose Abreu went well. So is that something where they, since they've allocated money to that position and still have to, do they go with a cheaper option like DeCenzo? We will see, but if you're asking for names, those are a couple that are popping up for the Astros as far as everyday players. He mentioned the Penguin. I did watch the episode. I enjoyed it, but I enjoy the Penguin every week. It is a great show that has some really good character beats, and I appreciate what Sofia Falcone is as a character right now. I mean, the Oz thing is a little weird. Oz and his mom is weird.
Okay, good. I was going to bring that up. No spoilers. Yeah,
no spoilers, but it's weird. Yes.
But it goes into the relationship between
Oz
and
his mom. They
have
a flashback back to when Oz is a kid.
It made me uncomfortable the entire time.
Even before the worst event happened?
Even at the start.
Yeah.
Like, it might have been the second thing that he said to his mom. I was like, wait, what?
You're too attached. The kid. You got to suss that out, mother. I know the dad's not around. You got to suss out that there's an issue here.
Yeah.
Not that you should have been able to foresee what he did, but you got to, okay, you're a little too close. This is a little weird. You're a growing boy.
It's just weird.
Go meet some girls that aren't your mother.
Also, I am officially where you were to where how many times is Oz Cobb going to have a gun pointed to his head
and
survive?
Not die? And no one killing him? Yeah.
Again, no spoilers, but
he survives.
In the show called The Penguin, the penguin makes it to the last episode.
He once again survives what should have been a certain death situation because he has plot armor, because he is the main character. So now the question is, because James Gunn is trying to cull everything that isn't him in the DCEU, the Matt Reeves stuff, he's not given his full go-tos. So
he didn't make it?
Yeah. So
it doesn't matter that's good?
Yeah, it doesn't matter that it's great. It's not mine, so beat it. Possibly. So does the Penguin get a second season? HBO will be like, yes, give us a second season. But if James Gunn is the czar of DC TV and movie stuff, is it possible that the Penguin could die? Because we know the Matt Reeves Batman universe isn't the DCEU that they're going to focus on, at least the James Gunn one. So it's possible that, I guess Matt Reeves would have to ask, do I want the Penguin in Batman 2.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's just like, when's Batman 2? Oh, 2026.
Yeah,
is the date for it.
Would
so,
you
yeah,
want like, this character who has, over the course of what will be 8 episodes, done a good job of leaving his mark? Do you want to get rid of that character?
I would ask, like, what's the point of doing the show if you're not going to have him in the movie?
Yeah,
what's the point of the show?
But if they want to circumvent expectations or surprise people, the Penguin, and he survived near death over and over again, but he won't survive the season finale.
And again, this is just hypothetical, so this isn't a spoiler. But so then it would be Sophia in the movie, I would guess.
I don't know. Is she a, would she
or
be a,
or is just no one going to be in this movie in?
Yeah,
like,
maybe it's
we all just wasted our time.
It's all one thing by itself, and we might have a bigger villain. Because right now, Oz is still street level. He's not doing the things like a supervillain would do. He's part of a crime family, at least, and trying to start his own.
We are inching towards the point where it's like, okay, because I always thought that some of the shouldn't the Batman be in this show. I was like, I don't know. For the first half of the season, there's not a ton that's like Batman level, or at least Batman coming in. You know, maybe he's looking at some documents, Alfred show him some stuff.
Particularly after you have to save the city from a madman who's trying to blow it all up. Now you've reached a different level. Like, he was the street level at the beginning of the movie. But now you're like, okay, is he going to...
Yeah, now, at this point in the story, now it's like, okay.
Yeah, there are a lot
he
of,
should probably swing
there
by.
Are a lot of people dying. Are you going to get involved in this? I doubt that he's making an appearance in the season finale, which is Sunday. What else did he ask about? Oh, do thick Latinas have a pass from getting deported?
Hope so.
I mean, it would be a shame if that was part of the platform of the 2025 platform. But I can't speak to that, Eric. I'm not part of the new administration.
Yeah,
I don't know. Shockingly enough, I'm not a part of it.
Yeah, I would call into a different radio show.
Yeah, does Michael Berry still do a show?
Probably a different radio station.
Yeah, different radio station overall. 740.
That would have that answer.
Call 740.
Yeah, they would know.
They probably would know if thick Latinos are going to get deported.
Yeah.
I would guess no, but I can't be sure.
I don't know.
I didn't set the policies.
To quote a Hall of Famer, you don't know.
Exactly. I don't know. And that's hard for some people to say, but I can say wholeheartedly, I don't know if thick Latinos are in danger of being deported. This show stands with them.
Yes.
But I have no power, so I can't determine anything. But they have my support.
We're doing all we can.
I'm an ally. All right. We'll hear from Dana Brown and Kyle Tucker when we come back. Of course, surprisingly enough, we're late and the show got into some nonsense. But hey, it's what we do. We will be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Alex Bregman wasn't the only one being asked about when Dana Brown was available to the media. The next in line after Alex Bregman for a big deal is Kyle Tucker. One more year left for him with the Astros, unless the deal gets done. So, while Bregman is the immediate issue, the Kyle Tucker issue is right around the corner. Here's Dana Brown on where they stand with possibly getting a deal done with Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I've talked to Casey Close as well. We've gone back and forth. Of course, we have the full year to get it done, because he's locked up to 2025, and so... Another guy that's had a great career here, been a big part of all the winning here in Houston. And, at some point, we hope to narrow some things down and have some more conversations. But we've definitely had multiple conversations with, Casey Close.
Well, I'm glad you've talked. I'm glad you have spoken to the representative of Kyle Tucker. That sounds exactly like all the things he said about Alex Bregman. Before the year, during the year, and now, where he can sign wherever he wants if he so chooses. So we still got a year left. Doesn't make me feel great, because you didn't make any progress with the guy you now have to bring back, who you feel pretty good about.
Well, he talked to his agent.
Yeah, I know. And but this
that's
is,
not progress to you?
No.
Talking?
No, because this is what he said about the discussions with Alex Bregman. We've talked to his people. They seem positive. We haven't gotten there yet, but we're still working on it. Now he can go get a deal from anyone right now. So, great, you've talked to Kyle Tucker's people. I would hope you did. But it doesn't mean anything. You've already set a precedent where you are fine taking this down to the wire. And I'm sure that has a lot to do with the player. The player wants to get the free agency and test and see what is out there and what he can make. So, cool. You've had a couple conversations. The next question is, are you close to a deal? And then when you tell me no.
Well, they're having conversations.
Yeah, that's not what I asked. I asked, are you close to a deal? Because if you're not close to a deal, I don't care how many times you have a conversation. Sean and I are having a conversation. Neither one of us is any closer to making any money after this conversation. More money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I do have a... Nah, I'll save that for later.
I was going to say, I don't know, like an hour. We're pretty
yeah,
close.
Yeah. Yeah, but this conversation isn't the reason why I will be closer to making some money in about an hour or so. And Sean will too, because, you know, prize picks. But... I won't tell Dana Brown to pick it up, but maybe more urgency.
Yeah.
But I will say again, this has probably a lot to do with the player and his representative. Because why would Kyle Tucker try to get a deal done early? Although, a couple more postseasons, one more postseason like you just put up in the year before, although this one was only two games. Does the value go down? Probably not. But speaking of picking it up, Kyle Tucker, let's go. There's been a lot of postseason baseball where you are pretty much invisible.
It'd be super great for you if you had a good series. Yes. Just a series. Like that, just win a playoff series.
Give me a good game. We'll start with that.
Yeah, I mean,
you want to go 3-for-4 in a playoff game? I take that.
I thought I was aiming low. But
yeah.
For Kyle Tucker at this point, the thing is, it doesn't make a ton of sense to sign a contract right now. Like, if you're already going to take it this down to the wire, you're not gaining really. You're gaining 1 year of security in getting paid, where, you know, if the worst possible thing happens this year, you're still getting paid. But at that point, just take it all the way to free agency. There's not. So, when Jordan signed early. You have this. If you're going to get guys on deals, these young stars on deals like the Atlanta Braves do, so many of these teams do, you have to sign it super early where you're gaining some risk of, well, we don't know how good this guy even is. Once the guy like Kyle Tucker has put together three or four all-star level seasons.
And he can see free agency in the distance.
Yeah, and
he can see it.
12 months away from
it. Yeah, like, there's no way you're getting anything unless you blow him away with the deal.
Yeah, so we've had 2 years of this now, or a year and a half. No, almost 2 years of this. With Dana Brown, the media relations jargon that he throws out there where it's all sunshine and rainbows, and they haven't been successful. They had the least successful two regular seasons in the Astros winning era, and the least successful postseason in their winning era. I don't know. I don't know what he's supposed to say. He's not going to do anything. I know he's not going to sign Kyle Tucker. So I get that the people there at the GM meetings have to ask, or the winter meeting, whatever this is.
I need him to pull a Nick Saban. Stop asking.
Yeah, I would have to respect him more if he was just like,
hey, this is
what do you want from me?
The way
like, what do you want me to say?
I would say the way these things work is probably going to go down into next offseason.
Yeah,
where
we want to sign him.
We'd love to get a deal done, but the player has the option of taking this.
Yeah.
And it seems like the player, although maybe don't be too specific, but generally in these situations, the player wants to test free agency, and that may be where we go. So I don't really have anything for you right now. But, of course, we love Kyle, what he's provided to the organization, and we want to keep him. But at the moment, there's no new updates. And I would ask you never to ask me again about this until 2025, the offseason, because I can't give you a real answer. All I'm going to do is dance around it and say a lot of flowery words about how much we love him.
Yeah.
And no real substance.
And in a couple months, we'll be hearing about – there's a deadline for the extension talks for opening day, and if they don't get a deal done opening day, by opening day, he's going to he's just going to test free agent. They're not going to talk anymore. Can we just fast forward to that?
Yeah.
Like, let me tell you what's not going to happen. I seriously doubt that he's going to sign.
Look, guys,
like a $300 million contract.
I'm going to give you all the important dates. This date of him signing an extension potentially not going to happen. Well, let's push past that. You know what the next important day is? The final day of the regular season of baseball or postseason of baseball. That's the next important day. Let's have a talk then.
Yeah.
Because I got nothing for you until then. And you know what? If I surprise myself with signing him to a deal, I'll let you know.
Yeah, you guess what? You guys will be the first to know.
Yes.
If we actually sign this
guy. Yeah, because Kyle's agent will tell you first. That's how it'll work.
Yeah, you just have to go, 12 years, $340 million.
Oh, 12. Ooh.
I mean, that's what he's going to sign for.
Ooh, not with the Astros, he's not.
Well, here we are. Then we should probably stop asking Dana Brown about it.
Yeah. Imagine Dana Brown hears 12 years. Well, forget about Dana Brown. It's Jim Crane here in 12 years.
He just faints.
Just smell. What? Dana Brown has to get him smelling salts to get him back in the game.
Wait, people are signing those contracts to baseball players.
Not here. Not with me.
Wow.
Those never work out. Yeah. You want to pay Kyle Tucker till he's 40 years old? Mm-mm. So let's see. He may get seven from the Astros when that time comes. Feels unlikely. Feels very unlikely.
It's very funny that the Astros basically work like the pawn shop in Pawn Stars, where they're just like, best we can do is 7 years.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, and that's us like breaking our own rules.
Yeah, we have to really love you to do that.
Like, really, the most we do is five. Yeah,
I know the rest of baseball does that, but they're stupid. We're not stupid, so we're not doing it.
Yeah.
Go find that someplace else.
And you know what? For, 6, 7 years, they're right. Yeah. Now? I don't know. I don't know if they're not stupid. I don't know.
Well, they made a couple hires that call into question their intelligence.
And a couple signings, too.
Well, those hires led to those signings. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. The Astros are smart thing.
I will say it's harder to play that card when you win 90 games and 88 games and lose in the wild card round. It's harder to do that than when you're fresh off a World Series win.
Sure.
I will say that.
You can't be the smartest guy in the room when obviously, some of the smart guys you had in your room are gone, and the guys you replaced them with appear to be not so smart. If we're attributing everything to a certain couple of potential...
some voices.
One certain Hall of Famer, because he is one, and then another one who happened to be a Astros legend. And then I have another one who we don't know exactly what he does, but he's hanging around too, and Craig Biggio.
Yeah. Craig Biggio really skates.
Well, we can't attribute anything to him. That's why.
He really skates.
It's Bagwell. And even Reggie Jackson doesn't catch much of it. But he's in there doing interviews.
Yeah, Biggio, I was going to say, at least he goes on podcasts.
Biggio doesn't do interviews, so there's no reason to really attack him for anything.
Would Jeff Bagwell be a bad friend if he was like, hey, Craig Biggio, how about, I don't know, like 2 series a season, you call the games on Space City Home Network instead of me? Because those are the two worst... I don't know, 3 days, weekends of my life.
Listening to Bagwell call games?
Because all of the Astros fans yell at me for 3 days.
Oh, as Jeff Bagwell. You're speaking as Jeff Bagwell.
Just like, well, hey, how about you do it? And then
you take
a little heat off of old number five.
See, the problem, you're operating from a position like Jeff Bagwell doesn't want to be out in front of things.
I guess.
Yeah, he wants to do that stuff.
People yell at him.
No one's forcing him to do that. He doesn't hear that stuff. He's not on Twitter, is he? Who knows? If he was celebrating the election. I don't know, but if he was celebrating the election, then he would have popped up on my For You page because I saw a lot of that. I was like, wait a minute. I've never seen AJ McCarron tweet anything. And AJ McCarron's in my For You page or my For You algorithm? It's like, I didn't even know AJ McCarron had a Twitter.
It does not appear that Jeff Bagwell has a Twitter.
No. All I saw from AJ McCarron was like, let effing go, LFG. All right, man.
Maybe he's just fired up about Bama LSU. We don't know.
Feels unlikely.
Okay.
Considering everything else that was around those tweets.
Or was it maybe the college football playoff poll?
Not where Alabama was.
LFG, 11th.
No.
Okay.
I'm just looking at context. And the context of it were there are a lot of other people celebrating the election who I had never seen tweets from before. So I imagine that was what that was.
LFG, American flag. I don't know. Could be anything.
I don't know. If I see Tommy Lahren and Candace Owens and AJ McCarron, I feel like it's going one way. One way. All right. That is wrapping up hour one. We'll talk about college football, but not AJ McCarron when we come back. The CFP poll is out. And not only the poll, but the seeds, because those are different considering the new setup. Where are the Aggies? Where is SMU? Where are the top four teams and who are they? We'll talk about that when we come back.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.